Let's have the discussion. You're listening to Canter with Scott and Adam.
Hello and welcome to Canter. I'm Scott Hillier.
And I'm Adam Breeze.
And in this episode, we sit down with Lowe Friesen of Halo, an energetic and creative asset to the industry. Lowe helps educate us on CO2 extraction methods, getting the most out of rare cannabinoids and terpenes, and we hear about the mysterious Delta 10 THC.
Enjoy the listen and be sure to check us out on Instagram at Canter Podcast. Let's get into it.
Hello, welcome to Canter. Good morning, Adam.
Oh, it's bright and early, mate.
Again, yep, it's awesome. Very nice outside. And we've got an awesome guest on the line, Lowe Friesen from Halo. How are you doing, Lowe?
I'm doing great. Hats off to you guys for having so much energy at 5:50 in the morning.
Thank you so much. It's afternoon here.
I'm based in Seattle, and although the window behind me probably doesn't do a good job, it's actually very cloudy in classic Seattle fashion.
Yeah, I hear that a lot about Seattle, that it's almost permanently gray and a bit of drizzle around. Is that correct?
Yeah. But in the summer, it's incredibly beautiful. And it's funny, most of the time when people visit, it's sunny. So there's a bit of a dichotomy there where people are like, is it really cloudy there? But I just found out that Seattle last month was the saddest metro in the US. So
I've actually heard that. And I think that continues on through European cities and Australian cities. I think typically the depression rates are higher in cities that are grayer. So yeah, that's fascinating. I think there must be something to it. But Seattle is a very famous city and a lot of great things come out of Seattle, such as you guys and a whole heap of other things in our culture and our society. So it must be a very cool city to be living in and enjoying.
Yes, I like to think that our products help people get through the winters.
Now, we've been put on to you by our friends and your friends also, Frenchie and Kimberly, and I want to give them a good shout out because they've been amazing to us. We're a relatively new podcast crew, and they've really embraced us and helped us out. They've put us on to you, and you're a fantastic guest, and I really like what I've found out about you and Halo. So firstly, big shout out to Frenchie and Kimberly. If you're listening, thank you very much, guys. And Lowe, let's get into yourself personally. Tell us a bit about your background and how you came about with creating Halo, the brand.
Well, I do want to shout out Frenchie and Kimberly as well, because I'm so grateful for their friendship. Frenchie and Kimberly are just leading the way on the conversation around cannabis and how to make it like more approachable and like explaining the history behind it, so we don't leave that behind. We usually every year host Frenchie for a hash making class at our facility. And we haven't been able to do that this year, so we didn't get to see them, but I feel close to them because of all the ways that our paths cross now virtually. So shout out to them, of course, but really grateful to be here, to be speaking to you guys in a different country. And my background is a little bit diverse. So I have always had a love for chemistry, and my dream was to become a doctor. And I have some medical background, but in my time working in medicine, I was able to get access to research and publications that I didn't have access to before. And I've used cannabis for a long time. I prefer it to alcohol, but it's also helped me during like times of anxiety and bouts of depression, which of course, again, helped me through the Seattle winters. But I really just, you know, in line with my love for chemistry, always want to learn the why behind things. So I just kept thinking, you know, why does cannabis help? Or I saw research being done around digestive diseases and cannabis's effect on that and treating symptoms. And that's where my field was, in digestive diseases. And so I recognize how awesome this plant was. And at the same time, my family, which has a couple doctors in it, we would have these conversations around the opioid crisis in the Midwest and how cannabis can help with addiction. And my father and my mother actually were the ones who inspired me to look into this industry. And with my chemistry background, just like looking at the future of the industry and how cannabis could be integrated with my background. And so they really encouraged me. And that's where extraction fell into my lap almost. It seemed like the perfect fit. And I was extremely interested in how to extract the cannabis extract and create products out of it. And so I booked a one-way ticket to Seattle and fortunately met the founders, AC and Fritz of Eden Labs, who manufacture the leading CO2 extraction equipment in the industry. And I started working for them and was really able to learn extraction from a holistic point of view, you know, not just cannabis, but other botanicals and all the different ways that you can use technology with cannabis. And then at the same time, as a consumer in Washington, realized that, you know, when I would go to the store and ask my why questions, you know, why did this strain when I got it from this grower give me a different effect from this strain when I got it from this grower? And nobody was able to answer my questions. And, you know, that's because there's very little access. And so I realized that I had something to offer both in my passion for educating and wanting to break down barriers around cannabis. And then lastly, my new understanding of extraction. And so that was my segue into saying, okay, we have something to offer. Let's do it ourselves. And so Halo was founded in the spring of 2017. So we're just through our third year. And our mission is to help anyone get more out of life. And we do that through our cannabis products. And it's founded in education and transparency to, again, break down those barriers and help people understand what product is right for them, whether it's to help them go to sleep at night or help them with any pain they have, all the way to helping you get through the winters, enjoying a concert even more because we know cannabis and music pair so well together, which is why we have those Spotify playlists, the coloring sheets. You know, it's just, we want to show people how many different ways cannabis can improve your life and the why behind it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I love your passion for educating and transparency. It's something that we're sort of all about with this podcast, as well as helping educate and put some transparency out there. Like you say, it can be difficult to get accurate information sometimes when you're maybe dealing with the local cultural figures and stuff like that. So thank you very much for putting out a lot of the content that you're putting out as well. Jump on Halo's website, guys, check it out, because these guys are putting out some great videos, some great blog posts, and I'm sure it's only going to grow and get better. So yeah, it's really well done what you're doing. So thank you very much for helping put that stuff out there. Now, Lo, CO2 extraction. I think there's a hell of a lot of consumers out there, a hell of a lot of people within cannabis that they've probably heard the word, but they don't know anything about it. Now, you had the good fortune of working at Eden Labs on some of their extraction machines. I think you helped create, what was it that you helped create for them?
So when I started working for them, they're a continuous process improvement team, you know, like how can we make this better every single time? And so, my goal was so I was the project manager for their latest development of their, high flow FX2 system. So it is, it's basically twice as fast as all the other models that they create. And so, I just helped support them and bring that to market. I continue to believe that their system is one of the best on the market today. So, and they're doing it in a way that actually supports their customers and helps them find success. And I think I learned a lot about, you know, business from that group. So I'm very grateful for my experience there.
So you utilize the FX2. Let's get into what it is. What is a CO2 extractor? What are the primary components of these extractors and what do they do?
So CO2 extraction has been used for a long time, both with botanicals as well as other things like extracting proteins from eggs or decaffeinating coffee or, you know, your laundry. It's now one of the leading technologies used in hops oil extraction. And so it's not... out of this world to know why CO2 extraction works so well with cannabis. But Eden just kind of put it on the map. And so the way that it works is you have multiple vessels. And I tend to describe it, it's similar to like distilling. And so what we have are multiple vessels in line. They go in sequence, one to the next to the next. And so in the first vessel, we have our plant material. That's where your ground cannabis goes into the extraction vessel. And our equipment is a 20 liter. And what that means is that it can fit about 4,500 grams of cannabis at a time. And so that's a lot. Every time we get a delivery, it feels like Christmas. But so we grind up the material just like you would before you smoke it, because we want to open up the surface area, make sure that we're extracting everything from inside the flower. And then we pack it tightly into that extraction vessel, which looks like a big column. And then we close it up. And then we fill the system with CO2, similar to the CO2 that you would use to carbonate your beverages. And once we do that from the cylinder that's the source CO2, we've given the machine enough CO2 to operate on its own. So then it becomes a closed loop. It just goes in a circle. So it enters the extraction vessel where we have our plant material. And that's where we choose the parameters at which we will extract the oil. And so you've heard of supercritical CO2 or subcritical CO2. Most people wouldn't know what that was unless they're studying chemistry or in the cannabis space. We know CO2 as a gas. You can't see it. We know CO2 as dry ice. That's a solid. But what we do is something kind of in the middle. At supercritical pressures, the CO2 behaves like a gas and a liquid at the same time. And it kind of looks like a dense cloud. So if you think about that, that's what it looks like inside the vessel interacting with the plant material. And based on those parameters, the extract actually prefers to be in the CO2 instead of the plant material. So it dissolves all that extract and then it leaves the vessel and goes into the next one. And in the next vessel, we have set the parameters so the CO2 goes back into a gas form. And so if you can imagine, that extract, just like you see in your vape cartridge, is heavier than the CO2 we know and breathe. And so they separate naturally, and the oil will collect over time into a collection vessel, and the CO2 will move on to the next vessel and then do that all over again. And so it just cycles around and around and around, just like I told you. And you can do that however long you'd like to do it. Some people extract for 8 hours. We extract for anywhere from 18 to 24 hours. And that's because we want to create an extract that's as close to the plant as possible. And some of those other cannabinoids that we're finding out about, like CBG or THCV, they take longer to extract than just THC or THCA. And so we've learned and catered our extraction method to be able to recreate and make sure that we're, giving the profile that the plant created its best platform. So there are steps beyond that to refine the product to get it to where you are able to vape it, but that's the general extraction process.
So the process you're using compared to traditional methods, the yield would be quite high, I would presume, is it not?
Yes, we actually, our efficiency is well over 90%. Whoa. So what that means is whatever you put in, we can get almost all of that out. And so, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with what the THC levels of flower are these days. It can be anywhere from 10 to 27% THC. So if you think about that in easy terms, so we have 4,500 grams of plant material. Let's say it's 10% THC. That would be the potential of getting about 450 grams of oil. That's a pound of oil. And so we can get pretty much all of that out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
so if you get 20% flower, you've doubled the weight.
Yeah, that's really impressive. And I guess the beauty of it is the purity as well. So are you able to talk a little bit about the solventless aspect of CO2 and why it's great that you can utilize this extraction method, and perhaps use it over some of the older oil extraction methods?
Absolutely. When I entered the market and decided to start Halo, I thought about what extraction method would be right for us, because Eden does make CO2 extraction systems. They also make ethanol extraction systems, steam distillation, all sorts of things. So we actually have a lot of options, including butane or propane, the hydrocarbon extraction method. So I was really just thinking about my own use and also what the future of extraction looked like. And first and foremost, CO2 is actually an incredible solvent for cannabis extraction. It's extremely selective. So we can really dial in what we want to extract. We can extract 90% pure terpenes. We can extract, we can make shatter. We can make all these different types. It's extremely selective and tunable. But above beyond that, it's super safe to use. So I felt comfortable, with regulations consistently changing in the cannabis industry, knowing that CO2 would remain a viable option for any state or any country. And then at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we're safe, our employees are safe, and that our consumers are safe. And so CO2 technically is a solvent, but it is as close to solventless as you can get with a solvent. And there's not any, residual solvent when it comes to CO2. So, other than it being safe, it's actually an incredibly tunable and selective solvent.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you're basically extracting that solvent from the oil that you get at the end. So you've got the post-processing procedures. Are you able to tell us about your separation of the lipids and how you sort of process beyond that first pass through the CO2 extractor?
Yes. So the extract that we get from the machine, it has everything that you've selected. So we've got our cannabinoids, our terpenes and terpenoids, flavonoids, the waxes from the plant or lipids, the water from the plant. Because even though we're extracting dried cannabis, there's even when you smoke your bud, there's always whatever the ratio is, 10, 15% moisture content. And so we actually do extract that water, and it smells so good. It's cannabis hydrosol. I hope one day you can smell it. But that's a byproduct. And so we get all of that in one, and the water and oil will naturally separate. And so the first step is to pour off that water and dehydrate the oil, because when you heat the oil with water in it, it actually will boil off the water and it'll crackle a little bit, and it dilutes the oil. So first we remove the water and we use a dehydration process. And then after that, the oil is naturally pretty thick because of those waxes. And those waxes depend on if the flower was grown indoors or if it was grown outdoors, because the wax layer is actually a real response to the environment. It protects the plant from the sun, from bugs, all sorts of stuff. So outdoor tends to have more wax than indoor. And but either way, you could use the extract straight out of the machine, but in order to get it ready for a vape cartridge, we do remove that through what's called winterization. And so what we do there is we add alcohol, like 190 proof alcohol, to the extract. So we use a cane ethanol that's organic. And what that does is it dissolves the extract into the ethanol. And then you freeze that for a period of time. And what will happen is the waxes will harden, just like your butter freezes in the freezer. And the oil alcohol mixture will stay liquid, just like your tequila stays liquid in the freezer. And then we use a filtration method, which is similar to if you've seen pour over coffee. So what we do is we use a special filter and we pour the mixture through the filter, and the waxes will stay on top and the oil alcohol mixture will float through the filter, and they'll separate. So just like your coffee grounds stay up top, the waxes have then been filtered out. But then you have to get rid of your ethanol. And so we use a rotary evaporator, which is a standard solvent removal technique. And we distill off or evaporate the alcohol. And what's left behind is the pure extract. And so we actually reuse our alcohol. We make sure that it's the correct proof, and we will reuse that. And then we use our waxes in our topical products, because the waxes actually end up being similar to beeswax, and they still have incredibly beneficial plant properties in there. And so we are a no waste facility. Even our post extracted material, the plant material we've already extracted, we end up giving that to our grow partners who have outdoor fields, and they reintroduce it into their soil.
That's awesome. That's really cool. And I love these no waste facilities that are popping up around the place in the US. So congratulations on putting that out there. I think there's even some nutrient manufacturers over there that are doing zero waste facilities. Yep. It's really good to see. You guys are definitely leading the way with that stuff. So congratulations and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, are you able to tell us, firstly with the topicals, I want to hit on that a little bit because we haven't discussed that on our show yet at all. Can you just tell our listeners a little bit about what a topical is? And what sort of benefits you are witnessing, I guess, anecdotally over there with regards to patients using them?
Topicals, I find, are totally underrated, but at the same time are one of the best ways to introduce cannabis into somebody's life. And so the skin is our biggest organ, and we have receptors all over our bodies that interact with cannabinoids. So topical products are lotions, salves, balms, things like that, massage oils that are infused with cannabis. And so what we've seen is that full spectrum oil that we use in our cannabis topicals, they do incredible things for any inflammation. So whether that's joint pain or muscle aches, but also skin inflammation like dermatitis that you would experience with psoriasis or eczema. And then just day-to-day, like arthritis, if you use it every day, overall it reduces pain and inflammation. So there's just, and even with like headaches and migraines, we find that people who apply our topical balm on the back of their neck and their temples, that it often soothes the migraine. And so there's just so many uses that topicals have. We've even introduced a THC and CBD infused lube to the market because there's a lot of ways that cannabis helps pleasure, but it also helps with any inflammation.
And these topicals, they're not being absorbed into the bloodstream, are they?
Correct. Yes. So you will not get high. It doesn't show up in your drug test. But that's one of the reasons why it's growing in market share, because more people are able to use it and not have to worry about getting high.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'd love to go through some of your other products, including lube, in a little bit, because you've got a fairly broad range of products, which is interesting. And you can see that you're putting a fair bit of thought into getting creative with what you put out there. So definitely excited to touch on that. But I'd like to get back to the post-processing aspect of what you do out there. So once you've done your post-processing, once you've got your product, you obviously have to send that off to labs for testing. And that was quite a fascinating subject that I learned off you guys. You put some good videos out there and some good information. So I'd love to touch on what happens once you package this, or once you get your samples ready, they go to a lab. What happens there?
So as part of our state requirements, we do need to have a third party that's certified to test cannabis to test our product for what's required. So that includes the potency analysis, how much THC and CBD is in my product. Mycotoxins. So what mycotoxins could exist still that comes from anything that happened in the plant material. Side note, CO2 actually destroys bacteria and mold and some mycotoxins in the process. So it actually is, it allows us to expand what starting material we use or to help remediate any issues that a grower faced. We don't start with bad product, but we have helped quite a number of growers whose crops may have suffered from that. And then they just converted into oil and are able to sell product in that way. So that's a fun fact. But I totally lost my train of thought. What do we test for? So there's mycotoxins and then residual solvent. So they test for all solvents that could be used, but the solvent that we're looking for is ethanol, residual ethanol. So we want to make sure as much ethanol is out of there as possible, although ethanol is relatively safe to consume. And then those are the main tests. HALO goes above and beyond that, and we test for pesticides, and we test for terpenes, and we test for an expanded profile of cannabinoids. So not just THC and CBD, but the other ones that we care about, like CBG, THCV, CBC, CBN, Delta 8, Delta 10, and so many more that are coming out.
Yeah, rare terpenes and minor cannabinoids. Delta 10 THC is something I've never heard of until about 2 hours ago. And I'm totally fascinated about how it was discovered as well. Can you tell us really a little bit about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually haven't seen Delta 10 on the market either. I'm sure that it's somewhere else, but we serendipitously found it through our short path process. So we use short path distillation, which is a way to basically increase the purity of your extract. So HALO is about full spectrum and the minor cannabinoids aspect of it. But we do short path distillation for another brand that we have called Treehouse. And that uses a base of distillate. And so in our process, we were just kind of doing some experiments. And in that process, found Delta 10 has popped up. And it's definitely a byproduct, and it's not something that the plant naturally produces. And so before we put it on the market, our team said, you know, we kind of have to try this and make sure that it's, you know, something that we even want to put out there. And so we had some guinea pigs, and what we found is that it's extremely energizing. You know, quoting some of our team, it's like the sativa lover's sativa. It's incredible. And it's not a long lasting, energy, but it's definitely getting you high. And so, we kind of brainstormed and came up with the name for it, which we formulated a product to kind of make it a good balance. And it's called the New Workout Plan. And that's why we launched the Body High series to, pair with the New Workout Plan.
One thing I didn't realize is, and I should have realized it, given that you're not a federally legal country there, you have different, I guess, different standards of testing amongst the states. Now, you guys go above and beyond, obviously, but are you able to tell our listeners a little bit about the differences that you may find with certain states? And also how some of the producers may be manipulating, the lack of regulations.
Absolutely. It is a touchy subject, especially right now in Washington. And I'll go into that in a second. But we are federally illegal in the U.S. And so, but memos that were passed several years ago, obviously states have taken it upon themselves to pass some of these measures to allow for the legal grow, process, and sale of cannabis. And because of that separation, it's on the states to create these programs and come up with these regulations. And a lot of times they borrow from each other. But it's interesting. Each state kind of has its own MO when it comes to the regulations. So for example, Washington is all about preventing cannabis from being in the hands of minors. So a lot of their laws revolve around that. Whereas California is all about preventing diversion. And so on and on and on. But the analytical side is very controversial, because every state can kind of just decide what it requires, whether that's microbial testing from yeast or whatever, and pesticide and heavy metals testing. You know, what really are we looking for to ensure the safety of the consumers? Because the states are not getting any guidance from the federal government, which is our governing body when it comes to our health and safety as consumers. So there's no help, and there's also no books about it. Nobody's written cannabis, you know, the background of cannabis and what to keep an eye on. And that's one of the reasons why we ran into the vape crisis last year, because people didn't know you couldn't inhale vitamin E acetate, even though that probably shouldn't be in your vape in the first place. But anyway, it's a common issue because we just don't have guidance. And so in Washington state in particular, we are not required to test for pesticides or heavy metals, which is really challenging because that means there's nobody pushing that forward in terms of making sure that those aren't used. There are rules and regulations around what pesticides you can use for your pest management. So there's a long list of legal ones, but anything that's not on the list is not allowed to be used on the plant. And so, but Washington has a long history of agriculture, just like apples are grown here. And if farms use the same soil that those apples were grown on, which use a lot of pesticides, cannabis is an incredible soil remediator. It sucks up anything that was in the ground. And so you can actually have transfer from, you know, history of pesticide use in the soil, get into your plant for generations. And so it's interesting because most other states require pesticides and heavy metals, but the next level of the challenge here is that the United States has a standard testing association for, you know, tobacco or pharmaceuticals or criminal investigation. There's nothing in terms of standards when it comes to cannabis testing. So we have access to standards, for example, like isolated THC or synthesized CBD, but there's nobody telling them how to test for these products or how to test for heavy metals or pesticides at such low levels in an incredibly complex matrix. I mean, we talk about how many chemicals or compounds are in the cannabis plant naturally, and even more concentrated in the extract. And so it's just an incredibly complex matrix that the testing sites have to kind of untangle.
So you're obviously going as deep as you can with your testing. You're trying to expose as many flaws as possible. I guess that's part of the ethics of your brand and what you're doing. Now, I'm aware that some producers shop around with their lab results. So they'll send samples to several labs and cherry pick the results that suit them.
Yes, yes. It's unfortunately more common than people know. And I'm sure you kept tabs on how many times this is happening in the US. And Washington just had a huge issue where one of the top labs in the state was exposed for manipulating numbers and being the lab that increases your THC percentage, because because of everything that consumers know, they're also guided by the industry. But generally, in the U.S. especially, we always go for more. And so the general understanding is that the more THC you have, the better the product. And or I want the most THC I can get for my dollar. And that's caused companies to cherry pick, like you said. So they'll go to one lab for their potency. And at the same time, people want as much terpenes even in their products. So they'll go to another lab for terpene concentration. And then they'll go to the lab that's maybe not as good at pesticide testing, and they'll go and send their product to that lab so that they can get clean pesticide tests. So there's no one enforcing that. There's no standards to back up that the practices that the labs have themselves are actually sufficient to test this. And on top of that, there's no competition. So there's maybe 18 labs in the state, and three of them can test for heavy metals, and 40% of them can test for pesticides. So, you know, it's just insane with the programs that we've developed, because it's causing these issues and it's allowing these loopholes where people can shop around. And so that means that the product that's on the shelf that consumers are supposed to be able to trust, they could be completely fake numbers or completely you know, or you can, there's no regulation around selecting your samples. So they have laws like, you know, it has to be sanitized and this is how many grams you need to sample. But the person in charge of sampling it is our team. And so if you're a grower and you're saying, I want to make sure that my test result for this big batch of flower is as high as possible, who's to say you didn't pick the frostiest nug or you didn't roll that nug in a bunch of keef to up the THC?
Yeah.
Or use an extract that isn't the same as the one that you put in the product on the shelf. So it's really controversial right now.
Yeah, it's quite scary to think that people could be consuming things that are entirely misleading. And I do congratulate you guys on that transparency aspect of what you're doing and the fact that you guys want to put out the absolute best product you can. Now, when it goes to the lab, seed-to-sale software comes in. We did have a guest on our show named Helkenberg who runs a seed-to-sale or is the CEO of a seed-to-sale company called Streamo. We've been trying to get our heads around what this software does and how far down the chain it goes. So it's still brought into place when you send your sample off to the lab. So the lab traces the documentation associated with that sample. Is that correct?
Correct. So what they're looking at is the identifier that's on the product in front of me the same as what was shipped to me on the traceability side. And so as far as they're concerned, they just need to make sure those match.
Yep. And then they also publish the data that they get from their testing publicly. Is that correct?
No. That's not correct.
Okay.
They're not required to publicly display it. In fact, they have to get the consent of the customer to do that.
Yeah, okay.
And on top of that, they are not required to notify any regulating body if they think somebody's doing something shady.
Wow. That's terrible.
Yeah.
that's wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, do you guys publish your results?
Yes, we publish our results. Mm-hmm. Those are publicly available on our website. And whenever a batch gets updated in terms of like we put a new batch out, we put that test result up as well. There's a whole folder of them.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'd love to jump back into the topicals. And is there any regulations, first of all, around topicals?
There are in that they can't be over a certain concentration of cannabinoids. You can't eat them. but that's about it. They're one of the least regulated products on the market, and that's likely due because of the minimal dangers that exist unless you eat them.
Yeah, that's cool. I think we should get into some of the most popular topicals, and one would be CBD to rub on your skin, especially your joints for arthritis. What other products? You mentioned lube before, and super intrigued about that.
Yeah. So Halo has a silicone based CBD lube that is available on Amazon. And we also have a THC infused lube only available in Washington. The reason being is that, first of all, why not need another reason to use lube? also because cannabis dramatically impacts the experience with lube, especially for women. And so you do have receptors, especially women, in their labia region. And so it actually amplifies sensation and blood flow. So if you think about when you get high and your eyes get red, it's because the blood flow is stimulated in your eyes. Similar receptors and blood vessels are in your vagina area. And so it actually increases blood flow, which therefore enhances sensation and just makes the experience better. So encourages foreplay because it does take some time to set in just like an edible would, but it's usually in like the 10 to 30 minute range. And so it's used for pleasure, but it's also used to treat any painful sex experiences because it does help with inflammation. And there are people that just use it every day as kind of like a maintenance because it is antimicrobial, it's moisturizing. So again, just why not have another reason?
And really quickly, you mentioned Amazon. So you legally can sell your products on Amazon. Is that correct?
We are selling our products on Amazon.
Wow. That sounds crazy to me. Yeah.
Yeah, in Australia, that's unfathomable. We can't fathom that. It's, yeah. Yeah. That's fascinating. Is it only CBD products that are on Amazon?
Yeah. Yep. Only CBD. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess that might become commonplace around the world one day, given the way
things are developing. I do think so. I think we're on the verge of that for sure. Especially because there's little to no negatives when it comes to CBD.
Yeah, we just published an episode with Dr. Thomas Arkell from the Lambert Initiative here in Australia, who did a road test, I guess it was clinical trial based on CBD and THC and their interaction with people that are driving. They 100% determined that CBD has zero negative effect on driving ability and cognitive function. Like you say, without that negative effect on cognitive function, it's hard to justify something like that being on a ban list.
Something that comes to mind is shelf life. Mm. Yeah, how long do these products last?
So it depends on the base.
Yep.
And so an example is our body butter. That's all natural, no preservatives. It is coconut oil and avocado oil based. And so there is a shelf life to that. We usually give it about 3 to 6 months because it's all natural. But they're in small sizes for that reason, so that they are used and turned around pretty quickly. But I think they're a little longer than that. As far as the lube goes, that's actually over a year.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's cool. Now, can we talk about your vape cartridges? I think it's what your company's built around. And you've got a couple of things. You've got the Raw X vapes. Can you tell us about that?
So Raw X defines our proprietary extraction process. So when I talked about how long we extract and that we've really catered the parameters to be able to make sure at the end of the process that the extract is as close to the plant as possible, meaning the terpene profile is as similar as possible. We get as much of those cannabinoids out and all of that lining up into place. So that's really the definition. And we call it the Raw X process because it comes down to like keeping it raw. We wanted to keep it as minimally refined as possible. So it's ever evolving. And so, that's our method. And so it will continue to evolve and get even better over time.
So then for the listeners here in Australia, particularly that are probably not that familiar with the vaping side of things, I think it's slowly working its way in here, but you have pods, what you call PAX pods. Can you tell our listener what it is? Okay, so in relation to your product that you produce out of your CO2 extractor, what happens then and how's it becoming a part of this pod and how does a consumer consume this?
So PAX is the leading vape device manufacturer, I would say arguably in the world, manufacturing vapes for cannabis products. And so it's a closed loop system. So if you use a PAX era device, you have to use a PAX pod to vape. And so Halo is one of the few in Washington that's working with PAX. And we really feel like we align because we're trying to elevate the experience that customers have with cannabis through these products. And so we have two types of vapes. We have a 510 thread vape, which is kind of like the Android version. Everybody can have access to it. You can have a, same battery can go for any vape. And then the PAX is like the Apple version where it's that premium experience, but well worth it. I mean, if I were to say, what's my ideal experience for somebody to have with our product, I would say it's the PAX. And not only is it the technology itself, because it's a really smooth inhale, it allows you to control the temperature. And so you're able to experience the extract, at low temperatures all the way through high temperatures. So you can really, really, really taste the flavor, or you can really, really take a big hit. And then there is an app that goes with it that allows you to control the temperature, but also shows you any information that we want to share with you. So as a company built on education and transparency, it's giving you the information at your fingertips, including what's the best temperature to vape it at from our perspective. You know, how do we want to see you experiencing the product? So on there, you'll get a description, what activities we suggest pairing with it. We can link our Spotify playlist to it, so you can listen right That's off cool. the app. I mean, it's next level. And so, I know that some epic technology is coming out in the coming year with PAX, but, we do have vapes in all sorts and sizes, but, my favorite is certainly our PAX pods.
So you have specific pods for specific varieties or cultivars of cannabis. Can you tell us what range of effects the consumer might be looking for? What do you cater to?
So we, you know, take it upon ourselves to try and create products that will satisfy any experience you would be looking for with cannabis. So that's everything from that really high CBD wellness product where it's kind of like a feel good, you know, just take the edge off, you know, not really getting high. So that would be our Sour Tsunami. And then all the way up to like the knock your socks off really high THC product, like our Dutch 47 or our 9-pound hammer. And so on the product itself and on our website, you can look, we have the adjectives that describe the product, which I think is a hurdle we need to get over as an industry, because a lot of people are interested in cannabis, but they have no idea how it can make them feel. And so we're trying to help people understand what they can expect with the product by conveying that information on the package or on our website. So experiencing like, you know, a movie night, or it will help you feel sleepy, or it will help you feel energized or want to go grocery shopping, which probably means you're kind of hungry and excited to shop, or going for a run. And so all of these adjectives and activities are from our focus groups where people actually try the product, review it, and then that's how we make the packaging. And so it's supposed to be able to deliver every single time. And one of the products, and we have all sorts of ratios too with CBD to THC, because those create different experiences as well. So our Love is Love, for example, is a 4:1:1. So it's 4 times the THC and a 1:1 of CBG to CBD. We have a lot of 1:1 CBD to THC products, 2:1s. And again, those just create different experiences. And so that's why we want to have this broad menu. And then the last one I want to talk about is the CBG blend. That's been one of our proudest products because it's like a sunshine in a vape, like, especially in a place where there's a lot of clouds. And especially during this year when people are cooped up and like, we just have so many reasons to have a tough day. CBG just kind of makes the to-do list seem a little less daunting, or take the relief off, give you a little bit of relief, take the weight off of your shoulders and help you smile in the day, because CBG is actually 100 times more effective than CBD for anxiety and depression. And so we've worked really hard to formulate a consistent product and give people access to CBG, because it truly is happiness in a vape.
That's really, really cool. I'm quite blown away with that figure. And one thing you mentioned earlier is the vape crisis. And obviously some listeners right now may have concerns about vapes, especially some suburban mums, I would say. Is there any dangers to vaping at all?
We don't know. The answer is we don't know. But all we can do is work off of what we do know. And I'm really confident in the product that we're putting out. And so I can speak to our own products and companies that are doing what we're doing, which is taking the burden on our shoulders to make sure the consumers are safe. And so we do incredible due diligence and quality control measures in our facility to make sure our consumers are safe. And we truly believe that our products are safe and that they're safer than smoking even, as long as they're used properly. But, as far as other products, I really beg customers to question and making sure that the companies are acting in their best interest. And so that's why we have our raw X process, because our goal is to extract what we want from the plant and deliver that. Never to introduce anything other than what the plant provided us. So, we're eager to see a regulation continue to develop, because not many companies are like us, where we are taking the responsibility for our actions.
Yeah, it's a word of warning to the consumer to really investigate the product. And I appreciate that there are people such as yourself out there putting out premium product. I guess the consumer just needs to be aware that there is the exact opposite in terms of business practice going on as well. So yeah, do your due diligence and really check out where you're sourcing your product. I want to get back onto the CBG just for a second. There's something we're hearing a lot about in 2020. We're seeing CBG-rich seeds being sold now. We're hearing very consistent feedback from the people we're speaking to in regards to the effects of CBG and what they're feeling. It all sounds very positive. They're all sort of consistently saying that they're not feeling high, they're not feeling inebriated in any way. They're fully functional, but they feel good, which is really cool. Frenchy has told us about these CO2 extracts and the concentrates, that the effect that they can have on people being significantly more, I guess, energetic than maybe consuming raw flour. And you guys have a program you're calling Body High. And I want to talk about that. Can you tell our listeners what you're doing there with Body High?
Well, I'm sure you've seen in the past, and we will continue to see, athletes using cannabis for, promoting motivation during workouts and, also helping their bodies recover faster. So whether that means that they're taking, doses of CBD and THC before they work out, so recovery is easier or endurance is longer, or just, on rest days, taking cannabis for, helping their muscles. But, we believe it's a performance enhancing drug. And so, used properly, we really think it will help people in their day to day, including getting a workout in and making workouts more enjoyable. And so Body High is, a virtual way to get access to that. And so we've partnered with a number of, trainers. In January, we're launching a new year, new you series of Body High with, Felicia, who runs Fit by Felicia. And she's a trainer, and she's going to be focusing on a body area every week to work out and, have a fun session where you can feel confident that you'll be able to do the workout paired with the right cannabis product. And there are right cannabis products for working out. Obviously you probably don't want to have a 9-pound hammer or a granddaddy purple before working out. But looking for those energizing, fun strains are going to help make the workout that much more enjoyable.
Yeah, that's fascinating to hear that. And I guess perhaps the most famous podcaster on the planet, Joe Rogan, he's been speaking about this for years, that it helps him with his workouts. He feels energized. It gets the best out of him for his workouts. So it's great to see that there are people within the industry now really embracing that and taking it by the horns and trying to show people that you can integrate that that fitness aspect of life with cannabis. I guess there's always been this in society, this perception of the lazy cannabis stoner. So good job in trying to undo that mistruth. So yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, cannabis can, comes down to chemistry. And so finding the right chemistry for your body and for what you're trying to experience, like it may take trial and error, but ultimately you will find the right product for you. And you just have to take it into your own hands to figure out what that is.
Lo, it's been a pleasure having you on our show. You're really well spoken. You're energetic. You've You're creative. We love what you're doing with everything out there at Halo. You seem to have a really great team around you as well. From what I've seen, you're putting out great content. You're kicking a lot of goals. So, yeah, thank you for doing what you're doing. You're an absolute asset to the cannabis industry over there.
That means a lot. I really appreciate you you guys spreading the word and creating a platform for people to tell their stories and really shining light on the people that are trying to move this industry forward in a positive way. So thank you for caring because, yeah, we have a small but mighty team and every single one of us is extremely passionate. And we're just really grateful to be part of this.
That's awesome. Yeah, thank you so much. So for the people living in the US, where can they find your products?
We are in over 100 stores in Washington State. By 2021, by end of 2021, we'll also be found in Ohio. So keep an eye on that.
And accessing your information on your website, are you able to give people a shout out to your website?
Yeah. Our website's halocannabis.com, and that's spelled H-E-Y-L-O, like you're saying hey to me. We have so much content on there. We have a YouTube series that's incredibly informative and a really cool look into our lab and the processes that we talked about today. And then, of course, our Halo Cannabis Spotify, can't miss that because we got some really good tunes on there.
That's really cool. Awesome. Everyone, go check it out. It's really, really cool. And that was an awesome chat. I really enjoyed that.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully set your day up for success. And thanks again for hosting me and squeezing me in before the new year.
No, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. You guys have a Merry Christmas over there.
Yeah.
And we'll keep in touch. You're a really cool character. Thank you.
Hope to meet you someday.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Cheers, Lo.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Cantar. Any guest views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the guests and not necessarily those of the hosts. Cantar strongly suggests listeners research local, state, and federal laws and regulations before conducting any cannabis-related activity.